if you're up in Yountville today, Priest Ranch Wines, I want to make sure we cover everybody today because there's so many things to do in the Bay Area. Check out the tasting room up there. The estate-grown wines are up there. The tasting room is like a little theater with big couches, and everybody really knows what they're talking about up there. So Priest Ranch Wines up in Yountville, check it out today. All right, got everybody hungry and drinking wine on a Sunday morning. Let's go back east and bring in Paul White. Paul, of course, the creator of the Baseball Weekly of USA Today, and love talking ball with Paul. We did it yesterday in the National League. Today, maybe a little bit of an American League ball. Paul, how are you?
Doing great. That wine sounds good.
I know.
It's afternoon here. Hey.
Why? Look, it could be morning. Doesn't matter. You know, it's estate grown. It means grown, bottled, harvested.
Awesome.
Right there. So Priest Ranch Wines, they're good. They're very good. All right. Tampa Bay comes in here next week on Friday. And, of course, sort of ironic, I don't know if Tampa Bay has played here before. I can't remember. But the Giants almost went to them in 1993.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, it's someone called in yesterday, Kitty, one of our callers, and brought that up to me. But Tampa Bay, Paul, is a very, very, very good team. They've got a closer that throws 100. They've got good defense. They hit the ball. Well, what do we expect with Tampa Bay?
You're going to see some great baseball out of them, and there's no big names on that team. You know, when you look at their roster, I love this team. And people don't realize they won 90 games last year in the American League East. But you look at this team, and you're like, you go down the roster, and every guy, that's a nice piece. That's a nice little player there. That's a nice little guy there. You know, and you look at the pitching staff, and they all throw hard. They had a Cy Young winner in Blake Snell. All of a sudden, you realize you add up all those pieces. And it's a real nice, complete ball club. And they'll use a lot of guys. Like I said, good young arms. Kevin Cash does a great job of mixing and matching and convincing those guys that they can play with anybody. They're a legitimate playoff contender.
Yeah, and well, Blake Snell, of course, got rocked in his first start. But,
right.
You know, he's a real deal. But what about the relief pitcher? The Alvarado throws 102?
Yeah. Alvarado, they've got other guys. They got a kid named Diego Castillo, who's darn near as good. They used him a little bit in that opener thing last year, but now he's become the setup guy for Alvarado. Again, you know, going back to when Andrew Friedman of the Dodgers was in Tampa Bay and kind of put that team together with Joe Maddon, they said, you know, we play in the American League East, and we are going to develop swing and miss pitchers. Whatever they have, whether it's high velocity, whether it's wipeout sliders, whatever it is, it has to be swing and miss because you can't survive in that division if people are putting the ball in play in Yankee Stadium and Fenway Park especially. And that's what they've done all the way along. And you watch their staff, they'll have swing and miss guys all the way. And I'm sure you'll see at least one opener somewhere in that series. And the guys that they sneak in the middle after the opener, a kid named Jalen Beeks who came out of the Red Sox organization, another really live arm. And nobody knows who these guys are, but great, great stuff.
Yeah, no one knows who they are because they're in Tampa.
Exactly. And the people down there don't know who they are.
That's the point. Yeah, it's incredible. This is a very, very solid team. They have Heredia pitching today. I think he's an opener because he's already appeared in 2019, I think. I could be wrong, but he pitches against Wade Miley, and they've taken two or three from the Astros already.
Right, yeah, and they're ahead of them again already today.
They got
an early run, yeah, and they do everything right, and you know they're another team that that's analytics driven, and you know I mean, but Kevin Cash will tell you, hey, look. We did an opener because we didn't have anybody else. You know, they realized, well, their choices after their first two or three starters basically were guys that were probably going to get knocked around. So why do you just automatically say, oh, well, we'll throw the fourth and fifth starters out there and pitch to a 6 ERA and we'll have to deal with it? Well, no. They said, why do we have to accept that? And that's where the opener came from.
Boy, this is going to be interesting because the opener is here Friday against Tampa Bay. And, of course, you know, the Giants are on a tough trip. They've you know, San Diego, and then they go into the monsters in Los Angeles.
Right.
after that, then finally coming home. But Tampa Bay, you know, this, Tampa Bay, who's that? But after doing a little research, this is a heck of a series for the Giants to open up with at home, and people don't realize how good Tampa Bay is. So I'm glad we touched on them today. Red Sox lost again. They came back for their win against the Mariners the other night against Hunter Strickland, who then went on the IL. But the Red Sox struggling a little bit to get it going. So I just your take, Red Sox, Yankees, where does it end up, and what do you see the issues as we go along?
Yeah, I mean, obviously right now the immediate issue for the Red Sox is starting pitching. I watched a lot of their game last night, and they almost came back on that one. Moore, the rookie third baseman for Seattle, made errors on three consecutive ground balls in the ninth inning.
Wow.
Almost let them win the game. You know, they're concerned about starting pitching because Sale got knocked around his first game. We're going to see, I think it's Porcello today.
Yes.
You know, they're concerned. I don't think it's a long-term concern. The starting pitching's got to be their strength. You know, we talked yesterday about Milwaukee, where the bullpen has to be their strength. If it's not, they're in big trouble. Same thing with the Red Sox. But I think they're still the deepest team in the division. The one area the Yankees are better probably is their very, very deep bullpen. But the Yankees have their own starting pitching issues. I mean, Severino's out. We don't know how long he's going to be gone. CC Sabathia is starting the season injured. And they don't have the depth to make it up. They brought in Gio Gonzalez. Did not look good when he was pitching at the end of spring training. They don't have kids ready to step in. So the Yankees could be in one of those kind of weird seasons where a lot of things start to go wrong, and it's tough to make up the difference. They got to keep Tulowitzki healthy, but they've got, you know, Aaron Hicks is already hurt. Didi Gregorius is going to miss half the season at least. There's a lot of potential issues there in New York. I still think they're a playoff team. There's just too much punch there, but it's going to be interesting. I like the Red Sox a little better, but I think it'll be a real close race.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Tampa Bay knocked one of those two out?
And I think it's possible. I think it's more likely that Tampa Bay and those two get in the playoffs just because of, if you look around the American League, who else is a contender for the wild card? The A's, obviously. They got there last year. But, you know, so many things fell into place for the A's, especially with the pitching, patching it together. And it all worked out, and they got to the playoffs. It was kind of magical. Can they do that again? Because they've got similar issues again this year. Does it all fall into place again? The odds of that are probably not that good. And who else is there? Minnesota? Maybe. But that's about it in the American League.
Well, how about Toronto? They haven't given up a run yet. Stroman, Aaron Sanchez,
they're playing
Shoemaker.
Detroit.
Come on.
But they're playing Detroit. And Detroit, Kansas City, and Baltimore are going to just go neck and neck all year for that first draft pick. These are 100 lost teams, all of them. They're brutal. They're awful. And, you know, the thing about Minnesota is they get to play Detroit, Kansas City, and the White Sox, who are a little better, but still not a 500 team, probably. Minnesota gets to play. That's 57 games on their schedule. So they might be able to sneak into a wild card just based on that. But you're right, Toronto's pitching really well. I don't know that they're going to create enough offense over the long haul. And again, you know, they have to do something just to get the third in their division. If Tampa Bay's as good as we think they are, Toronto's got to deal with them in addition to the Yankees and the Red Sox. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, Houston can do something that teams haven't done, winning 100 games 3 years in a row and getting to another World Series. There's some record I think the Yankees had and a couple other teams have had. But is Houston – well, I guess they're that good. I mean, they can't win every day, but they're that good.
To me, they're clearly the best team in baseball. And for all the hype about San Diego and a few other places, I still think Houston still has the deepest farm system in baseball. So that's scary. They're this good. They've got most of their key guys locked up at the moment, and they've got more coming. They've got more pitching coming. You know, they're really just bridging the gap this year till the next wave of young pitchers comes up. A kid named Forrest Whitley will probably be up this season.
I saw him.
You know, fabulous kid. Great arm.
I saw him in the fall league, and wipeout slider. Big kid. Nice kid. Very nice. Yeah, he's going to be a big star.
Yeah. So, you know, they've got – two or three more of these guys coming. They're just really that good. I think they just roll through the American League. That being said, you know, you talk about them getting to and winning the World Series. You know, if you look at the American League, I mean, Houston should roll in their division. Cleveland, even though with a decimated offense, should have no problem winning their division. And I don't want to play Cleveland in the playoffs with that pitching staff, that starting pitching staff. That's the kind of staff that could suddenly take out a Houston in a short series. And, you know, I think that's what – or, you know, Houston's got to deal with Boston or the Yankees. You know, we talk about the National League where all the teams are good but balanced, and there's a lot of them. Nothing would surprise you, but the American League's so top-heavy, as good as the Astros are, that anything goes in a seven-game series.
Boy, something's going to happen this year, something weird. Minnesota's going to knock Cleveland off. Houston's going to probably get knocked off in the first round. Tampa Bay's going to knock the Yankees or Red Sox out.
There's always one thing we didn't see coming.
Yeah. Well, because that's baseball.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just when you think you know everything, you don't know anything.
Yeah, that's right. We all sit here like we know everything, but deep down we know we don't.
Nothing. No, we know nothing. That's why you got to go through the season and see. But it's fun. It's too locked. It's too chalk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially the American League. Yeah, you're right.
It's too chalk. Something's going to happen. Something happens every year like that. So we'll see where it goes. All right. Paul White with us. We'll wrap it up with you. And we haven't made any predictions yet, even though you've talked about both leagues here over the weekend for us. If you had to say World Series teams as of today, where do you go for it?
I'm going to take Washington over Cleveland in the World Series.
Oh, okay. That's crazy.
Yep. So no, that wasn't chalk. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, that's very good. I change all the time depending on.
Yeah, I know. If you had asked me last week, I would have had a different answer.
I'm a Met fan. All of a sudden, I'm.
Oh, I do. I agree. They're really fascinating. We talked yesterday. That division just, you know, and it's kind of fun because it's close to me, obviously. But that's just a fascinating division.
One other thing I want to mention with you, because you're back east in Washington. How about Bryce Harper? He went from villain to like the Babe Ruth. That the exalted player of baseball, from a Scott Boras villain, not signing with anybody, waiting to the last minute, to someone who's received in Philadelphia like the greatest player who ever played the game. Isn't that something?
Well, yeah, but that's changed three times in the last 4 days. I mean, he got booed on opening day after his second strikeout. You know, and as one of the Philly writers said, it seemed to be sarcastic boos. It's like the Phillies fans knew, like, oh, our guy struck out twice. Aren't we supposed to boo him now?
Okay.
You know, that's what we do, you know. They're kind of like, almost like they were messing with him. But, let's face it. It's, you know, what have you done for me lately? You know, whoever signed Bryce Harper, he was going to be their guy all of a sudden. And for everybody else, he's the bad guy now, you know, because he didn't sign with their team. And Scott Boras is easy to blame for it. And Scott was now trying to tell us it was all Bryce. And, you know, even though Scott got the hit, Scott needed to get the biggest something in that contract. We all know that. But Bryce wanted that, you know, to be locked in with one team forever, no trade, no way out, no opt-out. And Scott claims that Bryce insisted on that. I mean, who knows if that's what really went on, but it looks like it.
Well, when he hit the home run yesterday, you think he won Game 7 of the World Series.
I know. Well, but see, again, it was one of those got-to-see-it moments because he hit it halfway to Pittsburgh. You know?
Great. Hey, great to have you on, Paul, as always. Love to have you on as we move through the season quite often. You have a great perspective on the game. It's a lot of fun. So thank you so much for being on.
Love doing it, Marty.
All right, very good. That's Paul White. All right, more coming up. Raph next is, I think, Julie Parker may be next here coming up. All right, more right after this.